Hey, nurturing parents, and happy spring. This is our favorite season here at the Nurturing Parents. April showers bring May flowers, so it might be a little rainy, but it also might be warming up and starting to get really nice. So this month, we are trying to get you to get outside more because we can all use that push. Getting outside might be a little hard for us as the parents or for our littles, but it can be so beneficial. So today we are going to have an episode on playful ways to spend outside days. How cute. Emma came up with that. We are excited to have this little series and hopefully inspire and motivate you guys to all get outside. I know I can really use that push sometimes, but once I'm outside, I can actually relax a little bit. Thanks for tuning in. We hope to get you outside.
Hey, Mama. Welcome to the Nurturing Parent Podcast. Do you want to end the constant battles for bath time? Do you find yourself emotionally exhausted at the end of the day? Do you wake up with big hopes for a smooth day of fun with your little ones, only to face an early morning meltdown because you peeled their banana the wrong way?
Silly you.
Silly you.
Hey, I'm Serena. I am a mama of two little ones, and as a new mama, I constantly questioned myself. I wanted to make sure I was raising respectful kids while also building a strong bond with them. But I discovered that I had to unlearn my ideas that punishment was the way. With Amalisa's encouragement, I've been practicing a respectful and gentle parenting approach, which is strengthening our bond as a family.
And hi, I'm Amalisa. Amma means grandmother in Icelandic. I am a mama and an amma. And I have over 40 years of experience in child care and parent coaching. And I am so excited to share the knowledge I've gained over these years with you.
Together in this podcast, each week, we will explore some easy to implement skills you can add to your parenting tool belt to help you create a happy, thriving family.
Number two, in our little mini series again about getting outside, because where we live, it is springtime. So today, my happy little title says, Playful Ways to Spend Outside Days. So we wanted to give you some inspiring ideas, hopefully, and some really simple ways to get you outside. So we're going to start off with bringing everyday activities outside. If you can do it outside, go outside and do it. And let's start first thing in the morning. Last week, Mama Serena shared that her girls wanted to have breakfast on their front porch. Take breakfast outside when it's a beautiful day. So great.
I want to say it wasn't even a front porch. It's kind of just like steps. We just sat on the steps.
Yes. Yeah.
And yeah, it was so nice.
Yeah. We have photos that we will share. I have a covered porch, and my favorite part of my day is when I first get up and I go and I get my kettle boiling and I make my matcha and I go outside and I sit on my covered porch. And in the winter time, it goes below freezing where I live. And if it's not too far below freezing, I will even do that. I have a little heater that I can turn on and I'll bundle up and I'll put a hat on and I'll have my slippers on. I'm not even dressed yet, but I'm outside on my front porch and I love it. In one of our previous episodes about being outside, I think I talked about the benefits of hearing birdsong and what that does to our psyche and our mood. Like, there's studies about listening to birds singing now and how good that is for us humans.
Yeah, I read an article or something saying how bird watching, some of the happiest people in the world are bird watchers.
Yes. Yes. So that's how I start my day, you guys. All kinds of weather because I'm lucky enough to have a covered porch. But I love that your girls just sat on your front steps. It's just so perfect. So, bringing meals outside. I want to encourage you, if you don't already have one, to have get a patio table, or a picnic table, and they can be found secondhand. You don't have to spend tons of money on it. Or get yourselves a picnic blanket, the kind that has like a nylon bottom and a fabric on the top, so that even if it's damp, not soaking wet, but damp outside, you won't get wet and you can just sit on your grass outside. So, and also I really recommend having a tray to carry things out on. I have a few trays in my kitchen, because I do a lot of eating outdoors, and it is a little bit of a walk for me. It's not like right out the kitchen door. I have to go through the house. And anyway, so have a tray that you can pile up and carry things out on. And snack time is the easiest meal or easiest food to have outside. So if you're a little bit nervous about, oh, how am I going to do this? Just take some finger food snack outside. Make it easy so that you have success and you feel like, okay, that worked. We're going to do that again. And when you've mastered snack time outside, move to lunchtime or even breakfast on the weekends or family dinner outside is so great.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't just have to be when we're on camping trips, right? Other things that are really great to do outside that are just everyday activities. I did mention last week, I'm going to say again, having your babies nap outside. In Great Britain, up until not that long ago, I don't know how many decades ago, but not very many. It certainly in my lifetime, and I'm 6 decades in. babies were put in their prams, so now we call strollers, and the babies sit up in them, but they can lie down, obviously, the strollers these days. But the prams were just places babies would lie, and they would be outside the door for their nap every day. That's where babies napped. I saw an incredible photograph that somebody shared on Facebook recently about these crazy, like in apartment buildings where they had these sort of spots that were built specifically to put your baby in outside for its nap
Wow.
outside the apartment building. I was like, oh my gosh, they were dedicated to having babies nap outside.
Wow.
And I'll tell you, the immune systems. They're going to be stronger.
Actually just started opening my windows in the bedroom and just leaving them open. And sometimes, like right now, it's still pretty chilly, but just leaving them cracked. And I've noticed that we've all been sleeping so much better just having that fresh air in the bedroom at night.
Yes, 100% yes. We cannot underestimate the power of fresh air. We need it. We desperately need it. And for people who have indoor garages where you go down the hallway in your house into the garage, into your car, and then you open the garage door and go out, you're not even getting outdoors for 2 seconds to get in your car. That's scary to me. That is scary to me. We need to be outside. Okay, this is Emma's theme, this series. Another, oh, but before we leave nap time outside, I wanted to tell you that when I go for longer walks outside, I use a power wheelchair because I live with rheumatoid arthritis in my body. I use a power wheelchair. And when my grandsons were babies, they would come for walks with me and fall asleep on my lap. And when I had my one little guy, I started when he was 2.5 years old, and I had him for 3.5 years. And for at least the first year, probably longer, he napped really long with me in my care because we would go for our walk. I would time it because I knew when he'd be starting to get tired. And I would time our walk for, I think it was right after lunch because I had him all day childcare. And I would get him to run and find things and go for the walking excitement stuff. And then I would say, okay, If he didn't initiate climbing up on my lap, I would let him know it was time to climb up on my lap. And anyway, he would fall asleep on my lap every day. And it was my favorite. It's my favorite when babies fall asleep on my lap. And then I would have something that I could do set up back on my outside porch so that I could be doing, often it was something getting ready for our day the next day, like on my phone researching an art activity or something. But I would just sit and let him stay asleep on my lap, and he would have the longest sleeps, and oh, it was just lovely. And actually, I don't know when my lullaby album is going to come out, but I wrote the title track when he was going to sleep on my lap in those in that year or two. Yeah, it's called Nature's Lullaby. So,
How perfect.
right? Another really easy thing to do outside time is stories. Daytime storybook time. Reading stories outside. Just tell them, okay, go grab your favorite stories. Let's go outside and read. And it kind of adds a new element to story time. They still get that snuggly time. They still hear their favorite stories. And you can read one story outside, you can read three, you can read 10, whatever amount of time that you can create for that. That's a really nice thing to do outside. When I do my childcare days since the pandemic, it and I haven't changed back, it's all 100% outdoors. So all the things happen outdoors. Some of it on my covered porch, of course, but music is another really easy thing to do outside. Having a dance party, bring your Bluetooth speaker, crank the tunes, and just let it rip. And if you need to move some energy and shift your energy or your kids' energy, dance breaks are the best. They're so good at shifting energy. And you can also create your own instruments really easily outside. If you've got some music on, or if you're singing your favorite songs, find a couple of branches that have fallen and break them off into short lengths and make rhythm sticks. You can bring them home and paint them later if you want to, or use felt pens on them and draw on them. And you can also take a couple of rocks and click them together as a musical sound. And you can bring rocks home and paint them, and they can be your music rocks, you know. So there's lots of easy things. My little guy that I had those 3.5 years, he loved every time we went on walks, he would try and find crunchy leaves to run through. So of course, Emma was like, crunchy leaves, crunchy leaves, crunchy, crunchy, crunchy leaves.
Crunchy leaves were my favorite too.
Yeah, they're so good. And you don't want to sing the whole time. You want to allow that child who's seeking out that sound that they love and that sensation that they love. You want to let them experience that. But every now and then, I would just throw in a little crunchy leaf ditty. Okay. I want to encourage you to let your child lead the way. Last week, Mama Serena, you shared that your youngest, who's not quite two, right? She led grandma. She was in grandma's care that day, and she went and got her coat and boots and whatever she needed. And then she told grandma they were going outside, and out they went. And I love that. And then she didn't want to come home, as I recall the story. She's like, no, we're staying outside. And when you let your child lead the way, one of the things that's really important in this aspect, once you're out there, whether they've led you to go outside or you've encouraged them to get outside, I want you to do your best to get your adult destination mentality out of the way. We often think, okay, We're going to go outside and we're going to go to the park, or we're going to go outside and we're going to go around the block. At my house, I have a dirt driveway that's really long, and then a dirt road that's also long, and then it tees into another road. And they're all quite quiet roads, so it's a really great place for walking with young children. And sometimes I think we're going to go down to that T road and we're going to turn left and we're going to go down the big, big hill and we're going to go all the way down to beside the lake. That's a really long walk. Some days we only get up my driveway and it's time to turn around and go back because it's the end of our day together or whatever the reason for needing to go back. And that's perfect. So get your idea of where you're going out of the way. If they get excited about a worm wiggling across the path, check out the worm with them. I've got these beautiful pictures and I'll hopefully post some of them of children like squatting right down and, you know, getting their face like a foot away from the wiggly worm or the crawling bug or whatever that is that might be down there that they're curious about. Let them explore. They're so good. Children are so good at being in the moment. It's a meditation. You know, get our busy brains to slow down and follow our children's lead. If they want to stop and pick the dandelions, let them pick the dandelions. We know that there's no shortage of dandelions, so they can pick the dandelions. If they want to blow the dandelion seeds, every single dandelion you pass, let them. And get into the excitement and the wonder that they experience. Allow yourself to get into that with them.
I think it was last year that I learned that the dandelions, the yellow dandelions, turned into the poofy dandelions. And I think that's crazy that it took me 28 years to learn that.
Wow.
From Mama.
Okay, mind blown over here. Now let's I am so not an urban dweller. And I love doing this podcast with you, because so many of our parents are going to be urban dwellers. And, you know, I know that we're actually in a crisis in our world, in our society, where children don't actually know that apples grow on trees. They don't know that French fries
are potatoes, yeah.
are potatoes that grow under the ground. Like they're having to take children from urban centers to farms to teach them where their food comes from. And the fact that you didn't know that a dandelion turned into the puffer seeds that we all blow and make wishes on, that blows my mind.
Yeah, I was always confused because they were both referred to dandelions. I never never put
wow.
it together.
Wow, I love that you shared that. That's so great.
I kind of feel like some memory tells me that I was told not to blow them because it was just spreading weeds.
Yeah,
and
that's what people
most,
think.
Yeah, that's the most fun thing to do is blow them.
I just have to say a word for the dandelions here. I really do, because dandelions are an incredible plant. I don't know who started this war against dandelions or why people with lawns that are green lawns, please grow biodiverse plants in your lawns. If you have a yard, grow things that are not just grass, because we need to create yards where the pollinators can come and do their work. If we lose the birds and the bees and the butterflies, the pollinators, we're going to lose our ability to grow food on this planet. Like, we depend on them. And this is a very serious moment, because this is actually something that we're witnessing now. So, okay, that was one rant. But dandelions are an incredible plant. For one thing, they do amazing things for the soil. They come in where the soil needs a certain nutrient, and they give it that nutrient by growing there. So if your yard is full of dandelions, it needs what the dandelions are giving it. They are also, when they are not sprayed with poison, an incredible food. They are an incredible healing herb. You know, you can drink dandelion tea made from the roots, dandelion root tea, to heal various different things where we have a sluggish liver. They're one of the first plants to grow. We'll get off this tangent in a moment, but I just have to say,
I was
they're
just
one
gonna
of the
say
first.
we're not sponsored by dandelions, by
We're not
the
sponsored by dandelions. Oh, but I'd like to be. They're one of the first plants to grow, and they grow all over the world also.
Wow.
They're one of the first plants to grow in the spring because our bodies need them. In the winter, this is a little bit from my herbology background, okay? Our bodies, when we're eating the sluggish, heavier foods of winter, our liver and our digestive system is very strained. When we eat the earliest greens, dandelions tend to be bitter. If you eat them very, very early, they're palatable. If you eat bigger dandelion leaves, they're like very bitter. But that bitter flavor goes in and actually breaks up that stodgy heaviness that we have built up over winter. So when we lived more naturally and ate the food that grew around us, that's why dandelions are important to us.
Wow.
Yeah. I get really angry when I see people out there, you know, spraying their yards, spraying the dandelions to kill them off. I'm like, number one, you're killing the bees, you're killing the butterflies, you're killing the pollinators. And number two, you're poisoning our environment. And number three, you're getting rid of this incredible plant. That's my rant for the moment. So yes, I'm shocked and amazed and so happy that I taught you that a dandelion yellow flower is the same as a dandelion in seed, same plant.
Yes, thank you, Emma.
You're welcome. I just never know what I'm teaching anybody out there.
Yeah.
It's awesome. So I want to say that nature is the best and the biggest sensory bin that you don't have to create. It's out there. It's natural. If you know, when you put your baby on the grass for the first time and look, watch their face, you know, they're just a few months old. Watch their face, watch their fingers, however they're touching it, and just look at that wonder. They're like, oh, there's nothing that feels like grass.
Yeah, actually both of my babies, when I first put them on the grass, I think I put them on their dupa and they lifted their legs right away. Like, what is that?
Yeah,
And they're
yeah.
just balancing on their bum. And they're like, what?
Yeah. So, yeah, some kids will have kind of a big sensory reaction to different senses, different feeling things. So, you actually might, especially if you might not know yet if they're just a few months old, but the best way is to just let them touch it with their hands
Yeah,
first, right?
now that I think about it,
Yeah,
I
let
need to.
them touch with their fingers and hands even before that, you know, you get their bare feet on there. But grass, dirt, if you're lucky enough to have a backyard, have one little corner of it that's just dirt. You don't have to plant anything, it's just dirt, and let them play in the dirt. Let them touch the dirt, let them dig in the dirt. When it rains, it's going to be mud. Oh, so fun. Mud is the best. You know, some areas there might be gravel. There's tree bark. Different trees have different feeling bark, right? There's flower petals that will have different feelings to them. Some leaves and some petals are really soft. Some are a little bit prickly. However, word of warning, do your research first. Do some research. If you don't know the plants that grow in your area, I want you to do some research and find out if you have anything in your area that is toxic or can hurt. For instance, in my area, we have a lot of stinging nettles. You do not want your child to grab a handful of stinging nettles or even touch the tip of that leaf, because there will be a really itchy and a little bit painful, depending how much of a sting you get from them. I eat them. I cook them and eat them, and they're really good food, but you don't want your children to, get stung by the stinging nettles. And there's also poison ivy is another one that's
Yeah.
very common, not where I live, but where many people live, poison ivy.
I had poison ivy all over my legs when I was little. Yeah.
Yeah. And you still remember it, that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So be aware. And also, I really want to just pop in here. If you do have a front yard, backyard, if there are plants planted, hopefully there are, but I want you to make sure that none of them are toxic for your children. So I want you to figure out what they are. If you don't know, you can take a picture. iPhones now have a built-in app that lets you identify a plant. I want you to look up whether those plants are toxic, because some of the really pretty plants in our gardens are.
Yeah. I use the Google app, because you can just take a picture and then it will show you everything.
The iPhone
But
does that too.
yeah, I don't know how to do that on the iPhone. Look
It
at you,
does.
Emma.
I know. I may
But
be a boomer, but I got you on that one.
I taught, so we had a mint in the backyard and we would eat the mint. Mint grows like crazy. So we were eating mint last year, and my mother-in-law was telling me that she was outside with Aniston and another kid that she watches, and when she looked at them, they had green stuff all over their face. And I'm assuming that's because I taught them to eat the mint, but then when we looked at the mint, it was all dried up. So it is important to look up what could be poisonous, because I don't know a lot of the local plants around here. Really, all I really know is the dandelions. I know honeysuckles.
I am hoping that I am going to go out and do either a live video walk or a video walk that I will post on our socials and show you a few of the plants that grow in my area. And you can look and see if they grow in your area, depending on where you live and what plants they are. Some are very specific to certain areas, and some are pretty global. But yes, that's a really good story to tell, because I am definitely an advocate of teaching our children about eating plants. I take children wild foraging, like we taste the wild sorrel, which is kind of a sour leaf. We taste the dandelion. And of course, where I live, there are no sprays happening.
Yeah.
And the other thing to be aware of is no dogs peeing
Yeah.
on them. If you're
Yeah.
in a public park or walkway, pathway, please don't pick them there, right? Find a
Yeah.
place where you know they're going to be safe from those things. But, yeah, so I encourage children to learn about the plants that are edible around us. And part of our responsibility is to say, this is mint and we can eat it and it can make a yummy tea. Let's gather some of the leaves and put the boiling water on it and make the tea. And I've done that in a glass teapot. It's really fun because you can see the water change into a light green color and then you can taste the tea. And this is the only plant in our yard that I know that we can eat If you want to taste something else, you need to ask an adult who knows. Come and ask mama, ask papa, ask grandma. And if one of us doesn't know, you cannot eat it. And it's okay to tell children, some plants can make us really sick. Some plants can give us a tummy ache. Some plants can actually make people die if we eat them. They're not for eating. You don't want to freak them out, but you got to give them the information. And I don't want to freak you out, but I do advocate for teaching children about eating plants because, that's what we do as humans. Oh, from the sensory bin that nature is, I want to encourage you to try a sensory walk, what's also known as a walking meditation. And I personally love walking meditations. They're my favorite form of meditation. And what it is really simple. You might not be able to do it with a 2-year-old or a 3-year-old, depending on the 3-year-old. I know some 3-year-olds that I could do it with. But for sure, when they're 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and forever, a walking meditation. Here's how you do it. You choose one of your senses to focus on. So let's focus on hearing. And your child might choose a different one than you. Now, you, of course, are going to keep your eyes open so you know where you're going. But your focus is going to be on what you're hearing. And it's an incredible exercise. I actually led a group of teachers and parents when I gave a talk at a conference. We went outside because we were talking about sound and music leading to literacy was the actual topic of my presentation. And so I wanted in the music leading to literacy, I wanted to go like, let's focus on listening because that's a big part of music and it's a big part of literacy, learning how to read and write. Listening. So I took these adults on this walk through this little trail outside the school where we were having the conference. And I said, okay, let's choose hearing altogether. We're going to choose hearing and we're just going to walk. And I hit a drum to indicate the beginning of the walk. And we walked just for a few minutes. I don't know if it was 3 or 4 or 5 minutes. And then I hit the drum to indicate the end of the walk. And then we gathered together and we talked about what we had heard. And the women who had lived there like forever were like, I can't believe how many birds I could hear. I've never heard that much sound in the environment. And there was a creek. Not running very quickly, but it was gurgling a little, and a heron flew down and made its funny noise and, sort of splashed into the water a little. And I mean, it was just amazing to me that a bunch of adults were so enthralled with how much they could hear when they just focused on their hearing. And I do this when I go for my morning walks. So hearing is a great one. You can focus on vision, of course, and it'll be interesting what you see. Because you'll, instead of just seeing, the trees along the sidewalk or along my road, you'll see the thousands of different shades of leaves of green. You'll see all the different things. And then touch is a really interesting one because I feel the earth underneath my shoes and I feel my pants, rubbing together sometimes if I move a certain way. And if I'm in the winter and I feel my arms moving and sometimes I can feel the of the, the coat fabric. I can feel that, right? I can feel the wind gently touching my cheeks, or if it's windy or blowing my hair. It's amazing.
Yeah, because when you mentioned that, I thought, so if I'm touching, if I focus on touch, am I touching all the trees, tree bark and all the plants? But
You could. You definitely could. Yeah. And you can just feel what you touch as you walk. Yeah. It's really cool. Maybe I'll try and do one of those and post that on our social this week as well. Okay, another really fun thing to do with your littles is to play follow the leader outside. So you might initiate it, and I'll tell you, as soon as you do, they'll want to be the leader, most kids, and that's fine. And then they might initiate it another time. So you want to do things like giant steps, giant steps, giant steps. Tiny steps, tiny steps, tiny, tiny steps. Or hopping, 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 hopping. And of course, with Amma, I'm going to add a vocal. But you could just say, let's do giant steps, follow the leader. Let's run fast. Let's move in slow mo, and you just play with all the different ways you can move.
Twirling is a good one, right? Spinning around, that helps
Spinning
some
is great.
the vestibular sense or something.
Yes, it's so good for our brain development. Really, really good. All right. Now, one of the things that you can do when you're out there is gather treasures. You can bring a basket or a bucket or a bag, whatever works for you and your family. And you can gather things. Children naturally gather. You can just gather them in your pockets if you have pockets, but sometimes it helps to bring some gathering thing. Of course, in the autumn, there's the autumn leaves. Oh, bring different leaves from different trees. Look at the differences in them. I always lay out pieces of paper that say small, big, biggest. Small, medium, large, those kinds of things. And then they match those treasures up that they brought home. So there's some science involved there. And then there's really simple things like bringing leaves home or some flowers if they're flowers like dandelions that grow, well, a ton of them. You don't want to deplete any plants that are not really, really prolific in their growth. But like the little daisies that grow all around and the dandelions, and you can bring them home and paint with them. Use them as a paintbrush. You can bring little twigs home and put them together as a paintbrush with an elastic band on the end. So you get this really cool paintbrush effect. You can paint leaves. You can paint so that they're shape comes out on the paper, or one little guy I had recently, he wanted to paint right on the big leaves. Okay, go for it. And of course, rocks always come home with us. Rock painting can be fun, having a collection of treasures, all that kind of thing. I want to really quickly talk about some really fun things that I learned about sidewalk chalk. I have used sidewalk chalk for a number of things. But I learned a whole bunch because I found this great website and I was just like, oh, that sounds fun. That sounds fun. That sounds fun. So I'm going to do them. I've got a little time with my guy coming up, my little guy. So I'm going to do some of these. Of course, we all know hopscotch. Serena, what were you just telling me about hopscotch?
That there was this cute video, I think, in an urban area where they had drawn like a little hopscotch thing and on the sidewalk, and there was a camera in the front of the house or apartment building, and it just recorded all the strangers that were passing by that could not hold themselves back from jumping across the hopscotch, and it was just so cute.
Yes. And it brings us back to our childhood because we all have done hopscotch. I love it. Another really simple one is to draw circles or squares with numbers in them. Just sort of random. The one that I saw was random circles, and you can have numbers 1 to 5 if you've got very little ones, or 1 to 10 if you've got bigger ones. And then you bring either a bean bag or a small pebble that's not going to be a problem for throwing, but a bean bag or a tiny little stuffy. And you toss them, and it can be this is a math game. And you don't say it's a math game, it just is one. You toss your bean bag or your little mini stuffy onto number one. And then you go get it and you toss it and try and land it on number two circle. And then you get it and toss it onto number three circle. And another thing you can do with your circles with a number in each circle is you can find three pebbles to go in the number three and four leaves to go in the number four circle, that kind of thing. Super easy, super fun. You can make a treasure hunt. I've done this in my yard. I've done it at the beach. I make a list of things like at the beach, rock, log, leaf, anything that you can see in that area. We have barnacles, we have shells scattered around the beach, clam shells or oyster shells would be two different ones that are very obvious where I live. And so you make this list, and they have a little checkbox. And I would bring that with me to the beach. And then I would go around with chalk and I would write the word on or beside. If it's a shell, I put it up on a log and I write shell. And if it's a clam shell, I write that. And so then they get to do this word association and they look at the words that they have that they find on the beach. And then they look at their list and they match the words. So that's a pre-literacy. I've done this with three-year-olds. They love it because they feel like they're reading, right? So that can be really fun. You can create an obstacle course with sidewalk chalk. Different shapes mean different movements. So every time there's a circle, they hop, hop, hop on 2 feet. If there's a square, they have to hop on 1 foot. When there's triangles, they n lift their knees high and march through the triangles, that kind of thing. If there's a long squiggly line, they have to skip along that long squiggly line. And a straight line might be like you have to run really fast. If there's a spiral, you get to spin, right? So we draw this sort of obstacle course with the chalk, and they could decide what the different shapes are going to be for their different movements. But those are just super fun ideas. And then my other favorite one is that you can add water to sidewalk chalk. So if there's puddles out and you bring your sidewalk chalk, you dip your chalk in the puddle and then you draw with it and it becomes like a paint on the sidewalk. So it just becomes an art activity of itself, of its own. So those are really fun ideas I wanted to share with you. Now, how do you get them home again? You could save one of those activities that I've just covered a whole bunch of and initiate that for going in the direction of home. Like the treasure hunt, pick five things on your hand that you're going to find on the way home. A dandelion, a worm, a this, a that, a, you know, and go, let's go this way and see. Or my favorite is blowing bubbles. So you bring bubbles with you, they're tucked away in your pack or your bag, whatever you're carrying. And when it's time to go home, you bring that bubble container out and you blow the bubbles in the direction of home. And then you go, what? There's bubbles. And they go running after the bubbles. And now you're on your way home. So there you go.
Awesome. So many fun ideas.
Tons. I gave you tons of fun ideas. Let us know what you try and how much you love it and how much your children love it. All right, well, we love you and we'll talk to you next week.
Okay, so for my gems, we actually have four. My four gems are going to be our four favorite things to do outside. Number one is my favorite, having meals outside, which I think changes the whole experience. Especially during springtime, everything's blooming, it's so beautiful. I do want to get a little picnic table for the kids to be able to sit comfortably, but eating outside, I think, is a great way to start. Number two is having a nap outside. If you can get your kid to nap outside, they will get a really good quality nap. My favorite naps happen at the beach. That's where I get the best best naps in. Number three is collecting rocks. I know if I tell my daughter we're gonna go collect rocks, bring them home and she can paint them, she'll be super excited. We can go for a walk around the block. We can go for a walk to the end of the block, and it can take from 20 minutes to an hour. Lastly is bubbles. And we actually just tried bouncing bubbles, which we had to do outside because it has sugar in it. So you put your sock on your hand and it's detergent, water, and sugar. And then you put it in whatever tube you're using that you have a bubble wand for. And you can bounce the bubbles on your sock hand. And it was really fun to try. Hopefully you're motivated. You have some ideas of how to get outside that will motivate you or your kids. And have fun with it. See you next week.
I want to sing with you. I want to dance with you. I want to laugh with you. Oh, how I love to be with you. Aya, 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 I do. Aya, 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 I do. Such a short time we've been together. Seems like a lifetime or two. Never knew I could love.